Please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Thessalonians, second chapter, page 1271 in your Scofield Bible. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, we'll be reading verses 1 through 6. We'll read the verses responsively. And the second verse is one of the text verses. We'll turn yet to another verse after reading this passage. Now let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Verses 1 through 6 of chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither in spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Turn now to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews chapter 12, page 1304, the 27th verse we'll read together. Hebrews 12, 27, we'll read it in unison. Read with me, please. Ready? And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And let's pray. And Father, we have given a good deal of thought to how good you've been to us this past year. Thank you for all that you've done, for all that you have in mind for the coming year. Thank you for the privilege of being in thy service. Thank you for this great church. Thank you for our preacher. And we pray for your help, your blessing in this hour. Do what you would be pleased to do and give us yielded hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning very tenderly, if I can, on the subject of faith that cannot be shaken comes from being shaken. A faith that cannot be shaken comes from being shaken. Our Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts sweetly. Encourage our hearts. Strengthen our spirits. And bless this hour together. In Jesus' name, amen. We come to the last morning service of 1989. It would not be difficult for us, many people in this room this morning, to call 1989 a difficult year. A junior activity is being conducted. The boys are wading and swimming on the shores of Lake Michigan. One of our junior boys is taken by an undercurrent and is drowned. His mother and father, faithful, loyal members of our church, blessed us immeasurably as they revealed to us what Christian grace and strength is all about. But that little junior boy is not with us today. It's easy for us to be shaken. Young men returning from work after having worked all night, driving down the Glenwood Dyer Road, young man who drives falls asleep at the wheel, a serious accident, and two of our young men are taken out into eternity. Would not be difficult for us to have been shaken. Chairman of our deacon board for 30 years, one of the best men I ever met, suddenly is too ill to remain as chairman of our deacon board. And all of a sudden he is unable to attend church. with any degree of regularity. And all of a sudden, for the first time in 30 years, nearly 30 years, he's unable to lead our deacon board. Could have been a year for us to have been shaken. The assistant chairman of our deacons likewise developed a serious illness. He also had to resign almost at the same time that our deacon chairman had to resign because of the serious illness. He was taken from us this year. It would not be difficult for the First Baptist Church of Hammond and its membership to be shaken. A lady goes to the doctor for a normal, regular checkup. She finds she has a growth she did not know she had. The doctor tells her that it's malignant and she has terminal cancer. A baby suddenly begins to lose the focus of his eyes. One of our own children here in the church. And the doctor says the baby is going blind. One of our ladies finds out that she has multiple sclerosis. And on it goes. I doubt if there's an adult in this room this morning that hasn't had something happen this year that could have shaken you. Mrs. Hiles and I found that our oldest child, Becky, has a severe case of the disease of lupus. And all of us face the realities of life, the negatives as well as the positives. It's so easy for us to be shaken. One night, I was driving my mother back home from a preaching engagement in southern Illinois. This is probably 4 or 5 years before Mother went to heaven. Before I say this, I must explain to those of you who are new the many, many what we would call heartbreaks that my mother endured in her lifetime. When my mother was the age of 9, her mother died. She had to quit school in the 3rd grade. Never went back to school again. In order to be the housewife for her father, and for her two brothers and her older sister. At the age of 9, she was building a fire with which to boil heat water. At the age of 9, she was cooking. At the age of 9, she had to put clothes in an old wash pot and take the soap that was made at hog killing time and put in the wash pot and stir outside that in that black wash pot with a stick. And then she had to take those clothes out, and then she had to heat some more water. And then she used that water, had to heat that with wood underneath the wash pot. And then she had to put the clothes back in and rinse those clothes. At the age of 9 and 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, my mother had to be a housewife. Normal time when she should have been learning mathematics. Normal time when she should have been having activities with young people. Normal time when she should have been a cheerleader in a school maybe. My mother was a housewife. At the age of 18, I think it was, my mother married. They had a baby named Loreen. When Loreen was born, she was born afflicted. She was, sort of a spastic child. She never talked. She never walked. She never rolled over in bed, Mother said. And Mother spent 7 years beside that afflicted child caring for her. Back in the days when you had nobody went to the doctor much back in those days. You didn't have hospitals much in those days. Nobody went to the hospital. You got sick, you stayed home. You died at home. And after 7 years of that, Loreen went to heaven. And my mother followed a little hearse out to Babyland in a little cemetery north of Italy, Texas. She placed that little 7-year-old body. She then had another baby named Hazel. When Hazel was 7 years of old age, she had measles. They thought she was about over them. Mother picked her up one day from bed, and Hazel said, "Mother, I feel like I'm going up in the air to be with Jesus." And in that moment, she went up in the air to be with Jesus and died in my mother's arms. My mother took another 7-year-old girl and placed her beside her first 7-year-old girl in Babyland. That was all my daddy could take. My daddy turned to liquor, became an alcoholic. They owned a little store in Italy, Texas, back in the days when you had little neighborhood stores. They owned a little store in Italy, Texas, and because of the depression and my dad's drinking, I guess, they lost the store and everything they had. And daddy moved to Dallas to try to find work and couldn't find work and went farther and farther into drink and became an alcoholic. And my mother had to make a living. My sister did for for some time that I had to make a living. I remember my sister worked for $10 a week, and she brought it home and took care of our family with that. My sister bought me my first bicycle. She bought me my first baseball glove. She bought me the first baseball bat I ever owned. And, of course, I'm eternally indebted to her. I've been paying her back all these years. It's cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars all these years. I rode for several years the most expensive bicycle in America. I've told her many times, I almost wish you'd never bought me that bicycle. It's been so expensive. But anyway, my mother had to work, started for 50 cents a day in a public school lunchroom. She walked 2 miles to work for many long time to the Trinity Heights School and worked in the lunchroom there, and then the Lisbon School, and then Margaret B. Henderson School, and just barely made it. In fact, for the first 18 years of my life, we lived in 19 different places. First 18 years of my life. I don't guess my mother ever owned a new dress of her own until I became an adult. I don't think she ever owned a piece of furniture that was new till I became an adult. Then Daddy turned to liquor, and then the war came, and I had to go to the army, and on, her life was that way. But wait a minute. I was driving back from a preaching engagement where my mother had been with me, and I was talking about mother's life, and if anybody ever had a life that stretched out with heartache from the time she was 9 to the time she was middle-aged, it was my mother. But I said, Mother, I marvel at the way you've taken everything. She always was on top side. I never heard my mother complain. Never did. Never heard her say, I feel bad today. Never heard her say that. Never heard her complain. I've heard my sister gripe all the time for years, but never heard my mother complain. But anyway, I said, Mother, let me ask you a question. You always seem to take things so well. I mean, I've seen you without any food in the house, and I've seen you without any house to put food in. And how do you take it like this? Has there ever been a time, now listen, has there ever been a time, I said, when you were shaken? And my mother looked at me and she said, Son, yes. She said, when Loreen died, I was shaken. She said, my mother died, I didn't want to quit school, but it didn't almost destroy me. She said, when Loreen was living, I got to love her and take care of her. And she said, Loreen died. She said, Son, I almost went to pieces. I almost lost my faith. I said, have you ever had any problems since then? Oh, she said, no. When I made it through Loreen and her death, I've had no problem of doubt. My faith has not been shaken since then. Now, that's what she was saying, what the title of my sermon says this morning. A faith that cannot be shaken comes from being shaken. Hear what I said? I see people shaking their heads like this all over the room, and they're people, I know their situation. And I know they've been through it. I saw a man shake his head who's been so sick he couldn't work. I saw a lady shake her head that was forsaken by her husband. She's had to rear children by herself. And I saw folks like that shaking their heads all over the house. There's a certain faith that comes when you're shaken that cannot be shaken. A faith that cannot be shaken comes from being shaken. There's a progression. I want you to follow me through the progression. Number one, you're shaken. Number two, you face a choice. Number three, you can go one of two ways. Number four, you can trust your judgment or you can trust His judgment. Now, that's a choice you've got to make. I mean, when you come, where you? And by the way, you've been shaken this year. A lot of people in this room this morning have been shaken this year. I mean, I know of a child here has an incurable disease. And a year ago, the mom and dad didn't know about it, and they've been shaken this year. And I've pastored hundreds and hundreds of people. In fact, maybe several thousand of you have been shaken this year. And so the first thing you've got to face is this. You've got to face a choice. You can go one or two ways. You can trust your judgment or you can trust His judgment. Now, that's exactly what my mother faced when Loreen died. She had to come to the place to where I can't see it. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't think you've been right. But dear God, I've got to do one of two things. I've got to trust my judgment or I've got to trust your judgment, one or the other. So, first thing, the progression, you're shaken. Number two, you face a choice. Number three, you can go one or two ways. Number four, you trust your judgment or His. Number five, you wrestle with it. And any folks this morning, you're wrestling right now. I mean, the truth is, your faith, you're shaken right now. Your life is shaken. You're having a pretty tough time looking up and saying, God, I trust you. You're having a pretty tough time believing God's fair and honest and just. And that's a normal thing. Listen, nobody ever had unshakable faith till first he was shaken and had some times of doubts. And this morning, you're there. And you're wrestling with it. And by the way, number six, and it happens to all of us, number six, you consider ditching it all. I've not in all this year given one single moment of considering quitting. Never. Never has been an alternative. Never has. Not one time. All this year have I given any consideration of quitting. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Never one time. But back yonder years ago, when I passed a little church in the country, when the man that I thought was the best man in my church turned on me and did what he could to turn others on me, I went out in the woods and I said, dear God, I can't take this. I cannot take it. And I'll guarantee you, every Sunday morning, it was a chore for me to walk in the pulpit. Every Sunday night, I didn't want to walk in the pulpit. And I looked up to God and I said, dear God, I don't understand this. And about that time, the word came that my father had died a drunkard's death, and as far as I know, had gone to hell. And I put down the telephone that day and I said, this is it. It's not right. I'm a preacher, and I'm not a great preacher. I'm still not, but I'm sincere. And this is not right. I don't understand it. It's not fair. My daddy's... I mean, I'm trying to get people saved, and my daddy died an alcoholic's death. It's not fair. And I wrestled with that thing for weeks and weeks and weeks, but bless God, when I was shaken, I kept on going. That's what you're supposed to do. You keep on going. You've heard me tell this story. I was talking to a man out west, and he came to me and he said, Brother Hiles, he said, I'm going to quit the ministry. I said, why? He said, my unmarried daughter's pregnant. And I said, no, you can't do it. He said, how can I walk in the pulpit next Sunday morning? How can I preach next Sunday? I said, here's how you do it. I said, the first thing you do Sunday morning is you get up. Second thing you do is you bathe. Third thing you do is you dress. Fourth thing you do is you eat. Fifth thing you do, you get in the car. Sixth thing you do, you come to church. Seventh thing you do, you sit up there behind the pulpit. The eighth thing you do, you stand up in the pulpit and you start preaching. I said, that's the way you do it. You just keep on doing it. He did. A couple of years later, I crossed his path again. That same preacher out west walked up to me and he said, he's a pastor. He said, Dr. Hiles, he said, you won't believe what I'm going to tell you. He said, my second teenage daughter is pregnant and not married. And I threw my arms around that preacher's shoulders and I said, my brother, I don't know how you stand it. I said, how in the world can you walk in the pulpit next Sunday morning after having two daughters pregnant before they're married? He looked at me and he said, with a square jaw and tears through tears, he said, first thing I'm going to do is get up. Second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to bathe. Third thing I'm going to do, I'm going to dress. Fourth thing I'm going to do is I'm going to eat. Fifth thing I'm going to get in the car. Sixth thing I'm going to drive to church. Seventh thing I'm going to sit behind the pulpit. Eighth thing I'm going to get up and preach. You see, what happened? His faith was shaken. I encouraged his heart. And from that faith that was shaken came a faith that was unshakable. And that's the way. Hey, God's being good to you. You had a shaking this year. God's been good to you. God is building in you or giving you the opportunity to have a faith that will not, that cannot be shaken. And nobody ever has a faith that cannot be shaken unless it's born in being shaken. So God is letting us, is good to us when God gives us things that shake us. So hang in there. When you come out, if you hang in there and do right, you can have a faith that cannot be shaken. Illustration. We love to talk about Job. Job said in Job 19:25, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He said in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I want you to notice that was not said in the first chapter of Job. I want you to know that was not said in the second chapter of Job. I want you to know that was not said in the third chapter of Job. It was Job chapter 13 before he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He didn't say that when he had lost his wealth. He was shaken.
He didn't say that when he lost his children. He was shaken. He didn't say that when he lost his wife, his loyalty and encouragement. He was shaken. He didn't say that when his friends turned on him. It was after all of that, when he was shaken, Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. When the shindig's over, he's going to be on the throne. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Where did Job get that unshakable faith? He got it from being shaken. So if you've been shaken this year, stand up and say, blessed be God. God's given me a chance. Listen, you've got some big battles ahead. You better stand in these little battles. I mean, it may be one of these days that a sword will come to your neck and say, deny Jesus or off comes your head. And you're going to say, Jesus who? Unless you've taken these... If you can't tithe, you won't stand it when they put the knife to your neck. You can't come to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. You won't take it when the knife's put to your neck. I'm saying that everybody in America, everybody in the world, in the history of mankind, who's had a faith that could not be shaken, it was born the time in their lives when they were shaken. You know, that really is what I think is the main reason for college. I don't want to upset you college teachers. But I doubt the main reason to come to college is just to learn where X and Y are located. I have some serious doubt that the main reason to come to college is to find out what year the War of 1812 was fought, or who's buried in Grant's tomb. I have some doubt that that's why you come to college. Oh, now, I don't want to hurt your teacher's feelings. We need you. And we've got to do that. I have some doubt. I'll say this. I really have some doubt if the reason to come to college is to learn Bible. If a man's worth his salt as a preacher, he's going to learn his Bible without going to college. You say then, Brother Hiles, what's the use? I don't know what the use is. You've got to come to a place in your life where you face the wall without any food and you lose your job, maybe. And everything is going bad. And you say, how can I take it? And you're shaken. And from that being shaken, a faith comes that the devil can't shake. Now, Thunder, when you're in the real battleground. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. God comes today. And God shakes your life. Unemployment, disease, child is taken, husband takes off with another woman. Something in your life, seems like you're destroyed. And you say, how can I face tomorrow? And yet, what you do? You say, okay, I've got a decision. I've got a struggle. Will I take my word or his? Will I trust me or him? My judgment or his judgment? And you wrestle with that thing. And that's normal. What is that wrestling? That wrestling is the building of a faith that cannot be shaken. And you go when you don't want to go. And you do what you're supposed to do when you don't want to do what you're supposed to do. And you do by rote the things you used to enjoy doing. You do right because it's right, not because you enjoy doing it. And you keep on doing it, and keep on doing it, and keep on doing it. And one day, through that shaking, there comes a stronger faith. And you come out of it, and you look back toward the back, and look and see it from the hindsight, and you say, sure, I understand that. And the next time the old shaking comes, you say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Why? Because the faith that cannot be shaken came from having been shaken. Do you ever wonder why a group of shaken disciples could turn the world upside down for God? Now you look at these guys. I mean, I look at my assistant pastors and my staff members and get discouraged. I know how you felt, Jesus. But think about these guys. I mean, here, the chairman of the board cussed and swore. You understand that? And went out and they said, you belong to that church. No, I'm Methodist. Said, you his follower? No. Would you believe Buddha? Are you with them? Who are they? That's one of the ones that turned the world upside down. That's one that was crucified upside down. Peter always did things differently. He was crucified upside down. Hey, who else? Who were these men that turned the world upside down? Who were these men that took the gospel and started the gospel that came all the way to the United States of America and, bless God, to a little neighborhood, ghetto neighborhood in southwest Dallas, Texas, called Lisbon? Who were these men? One of them didn't even believe that Jesus was resurrected. He didn't believe that. He doubted. Who were these men? Two of them, one of the upper places in the kingdom, sitting by Jesus on the left hand, on the right hand. Who were these men? These men were men, all of them, who forsook him and fled in his darkest hour. Well then, how did these men? I'll tell you why. Because they were shaken. They were shaken. They woke up one morning and found that the captain was gone. And one doubted and one had forsaken him and fled. But bless God, one of these guys forsook him and fled, the chairman of the board. He was out fishing. And he didn't have any clothes on, out fishing. And his faith was shaken. And all of a sudden, a man on the shore said, "Have you caught anything?" He said, "Blankety blank, blankety blank." And he said, "Blankety blank, dirty bric-a-brac, a pocket of a bunch of slattery, if I haven't caught a thing." And this stranger on the shore said, "Won't you put your net over here?" He said, "What do you know about these waters? I've made my living here for years. My daddy's been in business here for years. And we know this. We know every part of this lake or sea, they call it, like we know the back of our hand." He said, "Put it over there." He put it over there. All of a sudden, the fish came, and they came, and they came, and they came. And this man said, "Oh, my soul, that's exactly what happened three years ago when I met Jesus." Hey, he said, "That's my captain." And he wasn't shaken anymore. And that's why he could face the crucifixion upside down and die for his Lord. Why did he have a faith that was unshaken? I'll tell you why. Because he'd been shaken. Well, you say, "God's been good to me this year. I think nothing bad's happened." Probably not so good. He's probably been better to those of you who had something bad to happen. You ask that little family who got news their little boy had drowned in Lake Michigan. You ask them this morning, compare their faith today with what it was 365 years ago today. I'll guarantee you they have a faith today that cannot be shaken. Why? Because they sit up there, sit in the services here, and are faithful and serve God and keep a smile on their face and a joy in their heart and a song on their lips. If they can take that, brother, they're going to make it. The faith that has not been shaken was caused by being shaken. You remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego I talked about last Sunday night. They came to the time when Northern Baptist Convention, the Federal National Council of the Churches, 700 Club, PTO Club, went together and built this big image on the plains of Dura. They said, "Bow down and worship that image, or we're going to cast you in the fire furnace." They said, "No, sir, because we went to Hiles Anderson College." And those three Hiles Anderson College students, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's not as bad as D. Wallamalafit. What's the other guy's long name? Real long one. What? Yeah, Philip Antonio. Yeah, D. Philip Antonio. I mean, that's what it is in the Hebrew. Not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's D. Wallamalafit, D. Philip Antonio, and Oscar Buskowski. But they said, "No, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. We're not going to bow down." And the king said, "Okay, we'll turn the thermostat up 7 times hotter." And they said, "Be it known to you, O king, we're not going to bow down and worship that doll. Our God will deliver us." But the next 3 words, "But if not," they were shaken. You think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "Well, blessed be God, we get to suffer for Jesus"? No, they didn't say that. They said what you just said. They held their nose and jumped in. That's the way you have a faith that's not shaken. When you're a John on the Isle of Patmos and you have a faith that's not shaken, where did you get that? You get that faith by being shaken back yonder when the captain was gone for a while. That's what happened to me at the State University my first year in college. That's what happened when I, whose mother every night sat down and said, "The Bible's the Word of God," and made me repeat it 3 times, and read 30 minutes a night from this Bible all the time I was growing up, every night, and told me it was the Word of God, contained the words of God. And I went to the State University for 1 year. And brother, if I couldn't make it for 1 year, then you're not going to make it for 4 years when your mama hasn't done that. And I began to doubt. And my faith in this book was shaken. I didn't know whom to believe, my mama or the professor. I decided I was at least going to make an intelligent decision. So I looked up to God and I said, "God, I'm going to find out if this book is true or not. I'm going to start right here with the first verse in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and I'm going to go over here to the last verse of Revelation. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with you all. Amen. I read every verse in between those two verses on my knees. I mean on my knees. Every single verse, every single word, every single begat and begot in the Bible, I read every bit of it on my knees. When I got up off of my knees, I raised the Bible towards heaven and shouted, Mama was right! Mama was right! Mama was right! And I have never one time doubted this book from that day to this. My faith in this book is unshakable. Where did it come from? It came because I was shaken. This year, you've been shaken. You've had a choice. You've had a choice to trust God or trust yourself. And this morning, many of you have that choice this morning. Numbers of you have thought about quitting on God. God, I've heard this so much. Brother Howes, we're going to go back home. Well, go on back home. Don't clutter this place up with a bunch of yellow-bellied quitters. We don't go back home. God led us here, and look what He's let happen. It never dawned on you that God led you here so it could happen? One of our young men last night, I called him. He'd lost his church. Young man, graduate of our college. Young man grew up in this church. Lost his church. Men met last night behind his back. A bunch of yellow, coward men met behind his back. He lost his church last night. Listen to me. I called him on the phone. He was on topside. He was on topside. Now, out yonder, I said to you young preacher boys at the jungle out there. Pardon me, it's the jungle out here. I'm out there. It's a jungle out here. If you can't take it when you're shaken in school, you won't take it with an unshaken faith when out yonder you get on the battlefield. If you can't take it in boot camp, you won't take it when the enemy's shooting at you. You can't take 17 weeks of basic training. You can't take World War II. You can't take the Germans shooting at you and the Japanese dumping bombs on you and warfare with your buddies dying at your side. You can't take it then if you can't make it through school. God said, I want you to go to school. What for? To be shaken. Why? So out yonder, you can a bunch of folks can do like the 12 apostles did, 11 of them did. You can go out and change the world and turn the world upside down and have a faith that nobody can shake. You can die in India like Thomas did, who never doubted again because he doubted once before. And when he was shaken, he believed and he had a faith that was unshakable. Peter never denied the Lord again. Why? He was shaken, and because he was shaken, his faith was increased and encouraged till it was unshakable. Don't turn on God. Don't get discouraged with God. You come to the casket and look at your child, all that could die of him. And you say with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You keep on going. Just keep on going. I guess the time in my life that I came the nearest to shaking since I've first, my daddy had died without God. It was 12 weeks ago tomorrow. When I was sitting in a motel room, just got over pneumonia. My first speaking engagement after 3 weeks of pneumonia. 15 minutes before I preached, I called Becky. She was crying. And she said, Daddy, I've got lupus. I just found out today a disease that at its worst will kill you and at its best in her condition will give you a miserable life physically. And I put the phone down in my room and I said, Dear God, I don't mind it myself. But not my girl. I got face down on my knee, on my face in that room. And I said, God, I don't know what you're trying to do. But I'm not going to quit. And I got up and I spoke loudly. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It's been a tough year for some of you. It's tough right now. You face burdens you thought you'd never face. Heartaches you thought you'd never feel. Hang in there. Keep on doing what's right. Don't turn back. Shall I turn back into the world? No, no, not I, not I. Shall I turn back into the world? Oh, no, not I. Don't turn back. Keep on your bus route. Keep on your soul winning. Keep your Sunday school class. Stay in the choir. Keep on coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Keep on tithing. Keep on praying. Keep on tithing. Keep on reading your Bible. Keep on tithing. If you can't do all of those, keep on tithing. Just keep on doing what you're supposed to do. I'll tell you what I'll do next year. God will help me. I'll come here every Sunday morning and try to give you strength. I'll come back on Sunday night and try to encourage your soul. I'll do the best I can to give you some things to laugh at when you can't laugh when you're outside those doors. I'll do what I can in the next year. Have a place here, a little refuge where you can come and find others having it just as tough as you are. You know, when I was in the paratroopers, I didn't want to jump, and nobody with me wanted to jump. But we didn't want to tell anybody that we didn't want to jump. So we all jumped because we thought all the rest of them wanted to jump. We didn't want to be the only one that didn't want to jump, and if one of us ever said, I want to jump, we'd all stayed in the plane. We come here and we find people beside us have the same burdens, heartaches, and facing the same time, and you're shaken. But keep on, and don't stop, and don't quit, and don't turn back, and don't get bitter, and don't get disillusioned while you're shaken. One of these days, out yonder in a major battle, in a world war for you, you will face the big battle. I would not be behind this pulpit this morning if that deacon hadn't turned on me 40 years ago. I would not be behind this pulpit this morning if I hadn't had to face my denomination and turn my back on my denomination and my college and my background because of the worldly schools and the godless way they were living. Whatever faith I have that's unshakable this morning, it's come from being shaken. And God is giving you the opportunity today. Don't blow it. Don't blow it. Don't muff it. Don't fumble the ball. Don't do it. Stay in there while you're being shaken. Keep on trusting Him when you cannot see why He does what He does. And God will give you a faith one of these days that cannot be shaken. 1989 has been unusual. I have been shaken, but my faith has not been shaken. And I stand before you as your preacher after 30 years plus of pastoring this church. And I stand before you after an unusual year to say to you, I have been shaken, but my faith has not been shaken. And I have more faith in my God today than I've ever had in my life. I love this book more than I've ever loved it in my life. I enjoy my fellowship with my God more than I ever enjoyed my fellowship with my God. And brother, you'll have to drag me out of this pulpit. I've said so often, I may get the place to where I have a stroke and I may have to walk into the pulpit and preach like this. But you've got to pull me out. Why? I'm not going to quit. No, sir. No, sir. Why? I'll tell you why. Because my faith in this book and the God of this book cannot be shaken. Where did it come from? Being shaken. Congratulations. If you're facing some times this morning when you're being shaken, some doubts come in your mind, some wonders come in your mind, it doesn't seem that God's been fair to you this year. Congratulations. Congratulations. I'm looking at a little lady this morning down here on the front whose son had one of the most miserable years a man can have. But there she is on the front, and there she is every Saturday at soul winning in the Foster Club, and there she keeps on going. And so I'm talking this morning somewhere to a man who is one of our security guards, goes to college. His son was killed just a few years ago, and student in our school, and that man keeps on going. Why? I tell you why. Because God wanted to give him a faith that cannot be shaken. You don't get that kind of faith from memorizing 40 scriptures in the Bible. You don't get that kind of faith from getting your master's degree in theology. You don't get that kind of faith by taking homiletics and learning how to preach great sermons. There's only one way you get it. Being shaken.
being shaken. If you want a faith that cannot be shaken, it'll have to come by being shaken. Would you bow your heads, please?